Whoop, whoop. Good Monday morning, everybody. It feels a little weird, a little whoop whoop without Key waiting for him to scream in my ear, LZ. But here we are. Here we go again. How are you, my friend?
I am good, man. I am good. I finally recovered from all of the liquor that we consumed on Saturday.
Yeah.
I just put it this way. Usually I lose track of the number of drinks I've had. Saturday night, I lost track of the number of bottles of wine we had. So I think that's not a good trend.
It was an interesting moment because when I made a joke as we were getting ready to leave, you know, we should probably get one more bottle. I literally was kidding, and I turned around, and then all of a sudden there was another bottle at the table, and I think that happened twice more after the first time I was kidding. So it got going pretty good. It was I'll say this. It was great to see everybody. I hadn't seen you or Raj or Key or Jorge or Chris or any of those guys in person for what are we going? I mean, shoot, we're getting close to five months now. Yeah, so yes. It was very nice to see everybody. It was a great meal, and it was kind of hazy at the end of the night, but still a wonderful evening.
It was absolutely wonderful. We gave Key all his heaps and praises, but don't worry, listeners. We clowned him too. You know, we didn't get soft on you. You know, we kept it silly. We got our jokes in. But it was an awesome night, and we wish him well.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, and yesterday, I don't know about you, but yesterday was a day filled with a lot of couch time for me. Yesterday. I needed a little bit of a recovery runway yesterday afternoon. It was not pop out of bed first thing the next morning. It was one of those sorts of days. How about you?
Yeah, I spent most of the day, you know, sort of dealing with things, with some of the things I had written over the week, particularly the piece I wrote about, the great John Lewis and, my interactions with him as well as what his life meant. So yesterday I found myself just watching documentaries, man. Like I just wanted to just learn more. So I rewatched John Lewis's documentary, which was released earlier this month, but also just watched a couple of other documentaries as I was recovering from Saturday's debacle of all that wine drinking. Because I went to the bathroom and I had like two drops of urine because I hadn't had any water the entire night. And it smelled awful because I had asparagus. So it was like, dog, you gotta get your life together, man. All your biological functions are just off right now. You gotta piece this together.
Yeah, what am I doing to myself? It was great.
What are players doing, Travis? Like, what are they tweeting about? Because I've never seen them all coordinated like this, like a chorus line.
Well, so go back to, what is it, a month or so ago when the baseball players kind of stumbled onto a pretty effective strategy. It never really seemed terribly coordinated when they did that when and where. Tell us when and where and we'll play. They couldn't get on the same page with their ownership group. We know that they were arguing over money and all the things that baseball and baseball ownership players are always dealing with. And then on Saturday and Sunday, yesterday, the NFL kind of stole a page from Major League Baseball, and they started sending out a bunch of tweets with the hashtag, "We want to play." And their complaint is pretty simple. It is, we don't feel that you're doing enough to keep us safe in the return to NFL football. Keep in mind, camps open today, right? Rookies are going to start coming in today and tomorrow. Veterans expected to come in at the end of the week. And football's in a weird spot, LZ, because think about it. You go back a couple of months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, we thought that the football was going to be the one that was most likely to just kind of go through this in a air quotes normal fashion, right? Maybe without fans, but yep. By the time we get to September, we'll have a pretty good idea on how to deal with this stuff, on how to treat this stuff. Well, fact of the matter is, here we are towards the end of July, and it's just not true. The numbers are high. The numbers don't seem to be going in the right direction. And now the players, and the time was on the side of all these football teams and football players. Well, now it's not. And now because just the nature of football, the fact that guys are going to be tackling and blocking and huddling and doing all these things where guys are in incredibly close contact with one another, they're saying, we don't feel good about what you have in place for us. We don't want to play unless you're addressing some of these issues. Where they drop the ball, I would say, is you haven't told anybody exactly what it is that you want.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, right now I can't decide which team to sign up for. Am I team ownership NFL or am I team players? Anyone who's listened to the show, no, I typically side with the athletes because I always give billionaires a side eye because I know they became billionaires by doing something sneaky. So I'm watching them and seeing what they're up to, right? So I tend to side, but I understand your concern, but what exactly are you concerned with? Are you not getting enough information in terms of testing? Are you not getting enough information in terms of quarantining? Are you not getting enough information in terms of the travel protocols? What exactly is your beef? We understood what the beef was with baseball because, to your point, Travis, it kind of dragged on before they actually got coordinated. So we got leaked all kinds of information. But here, I just feel like I'm in the dark. I'm like going, yeah, we want baseball, we want football back. Yeah. You need to make sure they're safe. What are you doing that's wrong again? What aren't you meeting? What are the concerns? What's the protocols that aren't being met? That's the aspect of it that not the players, because tweets can reduce so much, but this is the responsibility of the mouthpieces from the PA who are supposed to voice the concern of his groups, of his members, so that it is clear to the public so they can win the PR battle. Right now, I think the PR battle is a draw.
Yeah, it's unclear, like you were saying, about what they want exactly. Speaking of one of those NFLPA committee members, here's NFLPA executive committee member Sam Atchu talking on Sunday morning about what their message is.
I think the message is simple without sounding sarcastic. We really do want to play. I think for the longest time, the players have been expecting to play and hoping to play, and the NFL has been really delaying in negotiations, trying to put pressure tactics to force the players to play in unhealthy and unsafe conditions, and also to take a huge revenue cut. And so I think the message you're hearing is simple. Players want to play, and so we're asking, waiting, hoping that the NFL will hold up their end of the bargain and provide us a safe working environment.
Okay, that doesn't help at all.
You know what I mean? It does not.
This idea.
I have no idea what any of that means.
No. And well, at the very end of it, it's when you heard the, you know, a smaller revenue share, that's a ding moment. Like, oh, okay, now I know we're getting closer to what we're talking about. But it's not, hey, the locker room isn't going to be clean enough. Hey, we don't have enough testing protocols. Hey, we don't know what's going to happen if we do have a positive test on our team. We don't. Those are the sorts of things that we can start to say, okay, yes, that's a good idea. That seems a little excessive or whatever it is. But without some specifics in this thing, of course we want everybody to be safe. Of course we want people to be able to go out and do this as safely as possible because we want football. But if I don't know what you're asking for, do you know what you're asking for? You know what I mean? If you can't articulate exactly what it is, you want to be safe. Great. We all do. What's unsafe about what they're asking you to do? You got to answer that question first, and they right. haven't done that yet.
They haven't, and that's the reason why it just feels like, even though it's well-coordinated, and listen, for those who aren't on social media, all the names you would want involved are involved, from Captain America, JJ, to Captain, you know, Captain Everything, and Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. to, you know,
Jared Goff.
I done found black people, Drew Brees, to Jared Goff, who says very little. Like, everyone's involved. But I still don't know what they want. I know they want to be safe. We all want to be safe. So what is it? Are they not providing you with enough what? You know, it's like,
right.
So we know what to ask the NFL about. You know, that's how this process works. So what ends up happening as a journalist is that you're still asking too many questions of the PA because you don't know what to approach the ownership group about in your questions. You know, you don't want to go in there blindsided. You want to be like Chris Wallace and have all the information so that when things are said and it ain't quite right, you're like, ah!
Yeah, gotcha.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's interesting because we just don't know what it is. But I'll say this, LZ. It for the first time, and I'm still like, if we do one of those, you know, needles, like 100% positive you're going to play on one side and 100% or 0% chance that they're going to play on the other, and the needle's swinging back and forth between playing and not playing, it still feels very much like it's towards the we're going to play model. But that being said, this is the first time we're really hearing this specifically from the NFL. That we knew baseball was going to bleep it up because that's what they do. We knew that, you know, other leagues would have some hiccups along the way because that's not uncommon. But football, we really hadn't heard anything until this last weekend, other than just some, yeah, we want to make sure it's okay. that this is the first time it's like, hey, you know what? This may be delayed. This may be canceled. This may be something other than just, oh, they'll figure it out because we have a lot of time to do. There isn't a lot of time left. Camps open this week. This is typically where the Rams would be down at Irvine getting ready for their camp, and all these other teams go to these places. That's the point in the calendar that we're in. And for the first time when talking about NFL football, it feels like a delay or something beyond a delay might be a real possibility.
Yeah, and I, you know, would love to understand what exactly is the concern for this. You know, it's so weird, you know, because every single time it looked as if the NFL is going to get it right, they go out and reach up and get it wrong. And here's another situation where they were in position, Travis, to get it all right. They had enough bandwidth and enough runway to figure out all the kinks. They could sit back and watch how other leagues were reopening because soccer and world team tennis and now basketball and Korean baseball. Like, they had so many opportunities to sit back and take notes. So when it was their turn, they were ready to go. And here we are. And there's a coordinated dance number on Twitter because they couldn't get it right.
You know, I'll say this too. And I think it's important that we give some credit to the NBA, because while they haven't been without some hiccups, going into the bubble is obviously going to have some hiccups. There's going to be some issues that, like we talked about last week, we don't even know what that big issue is going to be because you just can't foresee everything that's going to happen. But getting everybody together in an environment like this is borderline impossible. And that the NBA has done what they've been able to do, that they've been able to get their players into the bubble, that we're the better part about 10 days away from these guys playing games, and it doesn't seem like there are the concerns that we have for baseball. You know, there's not a person out there that thinks the baseball season is going to get to the end of the line. We're questioning about whether football is going to start on time. We're not hearing these sorts of questions for the NBA. Now, something could pop off that could end it like that. I understand that. But the NBA deserves some credit for talking to its players, coming to a conclusion on how we're going to do this, making some concessions, coming up with some ideas, and moving forward in cooperation with their players, where these other leagues, baseball and football, have been adversarial. That the NBA deserves credit for that, for working with their players.
Yeah, well, listen, we've always held the NBA up differently, especially the last 15 to 20 years or so, because it was very clear that it was a partnership with owners and not an adversarial group, and not certainly not a owner-employee relationship. It was a partnership. Everyone else, you know what it is. The NFL players and the owners don't trust each other. The baseball players and the union don't trust the owners. But it's just different in the NBA. I don't know if it's full trust, but it certainly isn't distrust to the level of the other two leagues.
All right, LZ, last night I got to watch something that didn't matter at all that was so incredibly important. I'll explain next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So it's probably a lot of things all at once, LZ. It's probably that we're going on 5 months of quarantine. It's probably the fact that I love baseball, that I'm a Dodger fan, all these things. But I've never been more excited for a meaningless preseason game than I was to watch the Dodgers and Diamondbacks last night, because I'm sitting there watching it, getting fired up in my living room, and I just keep telling myself, oh yeah, this doesn't matter at all. Only watching it unfold like that, and watching the way that they could swing the bats, watching the way that that kid for the Dodgers pitched last night, you know, rookie Mitchell White, looked like he was, you know, a five-time All-Star just tearing through guys. It was a weird mix of emotions watching last night, because the Dodgers looked great.
Yeah, they look great. That's what we were discussing, you know, before the show. I can't figure out, to borrow Keyshawn's phrase, what that is. Because here it is, like, the middle of July, and we're supposed to be, you know, a couple of games past the All-Star break at this point, and we're still in spring trainings trying to answer questions. And so trying to adjust my body to understand that, yeah, it was really sweet to see Cody Bellinger hit a grand slam in July, but it means absolutely nothing. That was
hard. Right.
The only thing that I really got out of last night was, one, Kenny looked really good for what it's worth. And two, they need to figure out how to pipe in right kind of sound for action on the field. Because whatever the sound you push for a double should not be the same sound you push when Cody Bellinger hits a grand slam. The grand slam cheers need to be longer, more rambunctious. And they need to find a way to actually have things projectile into the sky, like beer and popcorn and peanut shells and stuff like that. Like, they need to figure out how to hype this up a little bit more. because while it was great to hear the sound all crisp coming off his bat, the cheers, I have to admit, was very disappointing on the back end. I was like, it's a grand slam, people.
Okay. Why did you finish
cheering? What?
This is Hollywood. This is the place where we make movies. That there are endless amounts of very talented sound people here in this town that we should be able to get that right. Because I agree with you. A base hit up the middle that's a ground ball between, you know, shortstop and second base should not have the same reaction as Cody Bellinger scoring four runs with one swing of the bat. I'm with you. That cannot be a hard fix. Now, that being said, LZ, I've watched games with the sound. I've watched games without that piped-in sound. And even with the bad sound, it is far, far better than that vacuum of silence that was going on before. This is a better option.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. And they're still getting the kinks out. I know. You know, I'm going to send a list of suggestions to some people over there, you know, on which buttons to push. I also am considering buying a cutout of myself and having it situated so that I can be in the stands. You know, the Dodgers are offering...
I don't hate that. It looks pretty good. It looks better than empty seats. We've seen other, you know, stuffed animals and all the other crazy stuff that we've seen at some other places. The cutouts of fans does not look bad. It's kind of weird because it becomes background, right? It's just color in the seats. You get to see a bunch of Dodger blue, and it feels better than when it's empty. But I want to go back to something you said ago that about answering questions that we're here in, what is it today? July 20th, right? And typically by July 20th, you know exactly what you have as a baseball team. That, you know, okay, we got great starting pitching, but we're missing somebody to set up the last guy. We're missing a closer. We're missing a bat in the middle of the lineup. You have a good idea for where you are. Here's the thing. When these games start, by the way, this week, Dodgers and Giants play on Thursday night, there is no time for that. You have to look like you're going to look, and that's why I was encouraged by what I saw last night. Mookie Betts had two hits, scored a couple of runs. Max Muncy had two hits, scored three runs. Cody Bellinger had three hits, including that grand slam that you're talking about. You're talking to Justin Turner had a hit, drove in a run, scored a run. That they looked a lot like the Dodger team that you would expect them to look like. There's going to be nights where it's not happening, but it was just an endless parade of all-stars up there. Betts, Muncy, Turner, Bellinger, Seager, Peterson, Kike Hernandez, just one guy after the next. That team, I understand they haven't played a single game. That team looked like a team that was in the middle of their season. They looked sharp. And they are loaded with talent.
They are so loaded with talent. They kind of remind me, and I hate to make this comparison, but it's the only recent comparison that I have. And even though they cheated, the reality is that the Houston Astros didn't let you rest. Like, their bats from beginning to end, and again, I recognize they cheated, but they also were able to maximize the cheating, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
In other words, if they were steroid users, they used those steroids for 80 home runs in the season. It wasn't, I'm a steroid user, and I just got two more hits. So they maximized the cheating, but they're talented to begin with, and there was no breaks in their lineup. And I felt the same way last night, like going, if you're a manager or if you're a pitcher, if you're a catcher trying to, you know, give a signal, like, when is the break?
There isn't one.
When do you
relax? There really isn't one. I mean, you've got Kike Hernandez batting towards the bottom of this lineup. Kike Hernandez would be a starting player on every team in baseball. And he starts a bunch for the Dodgers, but you would put him at second base or somewhere in the outfield, and you would never miss a bit. He'd probably bat somewhere in the middle of your order. He's that good of a player, and he's kind of the Dodgers, you know, skeleton key. He's the guy that can play all these different positions. You could bat him anywhere in the order from first, literally, all the way down to ninth in this situation. You talk about where's the break. Taylor Wagner, if I'm saying that right, the guy that started for Arizona last night, he didn't get an out in the first inning. I mean, they roughed him up to the point where they said, it was like a Little League game. They say, all right, you know what, that's enough. Let's call it. You guys come up to bat. We've had enough. I mean, they had to call off the dime. Now, he did much better after that the second time through. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a team that is relentless like that. And I go back to what Dave Roberts said to us. Was it last week that we talked to him? And I asked him, I think we both asked similar questions about, hey, you know, how are you going to approach this with a young player? And I said to him, how are you going to approach this with a guy if he gets off to a slow start? Well, you got to get him out. right? You just don't have the time. We're not going to see that idea of what he said before. You know, it's 100 at-bats before you can really kind of try to evaluate this stuff. I don't know what the new number is. I know it's not 100. If we're doing thirds, like this is basically done for a season, you know, a 50-game season is about a third of what we're talking about. So you're talking 30 at-bats. That could be a week before you have to do and make a decision like that. And last night, the Dodgers look like they have plenty of ways to cover holes if, in fact, they do have somebody that gets off to a slow start. Yes. They're just loaded. It was really fun to watch, and I kept having to tell myself, oh, right, this doesn't count at all. But it sure didn't feel like it didn't count.
Well, we're so damn thirsty. We've been in this desert since March. You know, yeah. So anything that looks like it could be close to counting, you know, I'm going to be excited about. And referencing, you know, the lack of a break in their lineup, like, they're so good, Travis. There's not a guy in the lineup whose production would surprise me. You know, like, you even with championship teams, you look at them like going, oh, I wasn't expecting that guy to get that hit, or I wasn't expecting that guy to win NLCS MVP, or I wasn't expecting this. Or there is no one who shows up in the Dodgers lineup that you would be. You mentioned Kike Hernandez. If Kike Hernandez had hit that grand slam, we still wouldn't have bat an eye.
No. Like,
that's not a shock.
You know, you said that, Elsie, I started to think about, like, who would be the biggest surprise if all of a sudden they were the guy that just kind of carried an offensive load for a period of time. And maybe it's Austin Barnes, but even that doesn't feel like a huge stretch. We've seen him get big hits for them before. Like, there's nobody, maybe A.J. Pollock because he's hurt all the time, but it just, isn't anybody. Yeah, well, that's it happens. Everybody has a bad day.
That's your big free agent signing, Travis, by the way. I teased you about it before, and I'm picking
Joe
up where
Kelly.
I left off.
Joe Kelly got
Joe.
And you mentioned, though, Kenley did look good last night. That's another one that they're going to have to get squared away. So Kenley looked pretty good along the way. We need to get this thing started. And watching it last night, Elsie, and I keep telling myself, I know we're going to start. I don't know if we're going to finish. But the more I watch it and the more I see the stands that are empty, and guys are doing a pretty good job of distancing here and there. We've seen first basemen with their masks on. When a player gets on base, they pull it up over their face. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to sit here and book an October World Series party or anything, but I'm hopefully that we get to the end of this line, because it just felt really good to see two major league teams competing against each other in a major league ballpark for the first time in what feels like an eternity.
Yeah, and you know what the weirdest thing is? And I've been the main one, you know, hammering this point home, and maybe I'm just wrong, and I'm more than willing to admit that I may be wrong. But even though I know there's only going to be 60 games, just seeing yesterday, I was like, oh, yeah, give me that 60. We good. Yeah, give me that 60. Yeah. You know, it's just like, give me anything, and I'm going to respect it. And if there's a champion, I'm going to honor them. And if it's us, I'm going to throw our confetti out of my apartment window. Because you won't be able to have parades, but I'm going to.
No, you do have that nice balcony. I'll walk underneath. Yeah. I'll let the ticker tape.
I'm going to get a couple of my CVS receipts and chip it up real good and throw the confetti outside. Those, you know, you get plenty of paper from those.
Perfect. All right. Frank Vogel says that the NBA needs to do something about its regular season awards, and he has a plan. I'll tell you what it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. You know what, LZ? I was thinking about something you said there about how you're excited. You kind of changed your tune on the 60-game season, that you've gone from, you know, where we are to this is going to be weird. This is not going to be representative of a real season. And that's all true. But you know what it's going to be? It's going to be fun. And we're all smart enough to understand that, okay, look, this isn't what we all signed up for, generally speaking, but we're not under general terms. And just because it's going to be weird doesn't mean it can't be exciting and meaningful.
Hey, you know what? It's like when you're out on the prowl. And when, you know, when you first go out on the prowl, well, you know, I'm just speaking on history, of course. When you first go out on the prowl, you have your list of things that you want, right?
Yeah.
You want to kind of grab. And then as the night goes on, you start chipping things up, like going, okay, well, I guess they'll need all their teeth. I guess.
Jeez, that's a quick drop off.
Well, I mean, I'm talking. Once you get past 1 a.m., you just gotta, you know.
Yeah, the closing time song is coming on. Closing time.
Yeah, once it's closing time, you just throw the list away and just reach for a long box. That's what happens. And that's where we are right now when it comes to just sports in general. Like, back in April, I had a list of how things should be and come back and where they should play. And as the months rolled by, I started scratching things off. And now I'm to the point in which I don't care if it has all its teeth. I don't care if the game has all its hair. I don't care if it has bad credit. I just need a warm body. I just need sports. So if you're going to give me 60 games, I'll take that bastardized version because I'm so desperate and closing time is playing. I just need something.
Yeah, and go ahead and try to rain on whatever. If the Dodgers or the Lakers cash this thing in, whether it's 60 games or an abbreviated bubble season or whatever, whoever gets that championship is going to have earned it, right? Yes. And if it's a weird one and all of a sudden you look around and the San Diego Padres won the World Series, I'm not saying that it doesn't mean what it used to mean. What I'm saying is we all understand the difference of it. And if they get through it, good for them. It'll be a weird deal, but whatever. Let's get it on there and let's have it go down.
Well, I'm not that you know, respectable of a person. I'm not going to lie. The Padres win, I'm a clown the whole year. Ah, that doesn't count. You better hang up that trash banner. What are you doing?
Oh, they will. Count
60 games.
No. I know what you're doing, right? But no, if anybody gets to hang it, they all get to hang it, right? I mean, it'll be super bizarre.
Nope.
But yep. Only
the Dodgers get to hang it with no asterisks. My Tigers get to hang it with no asterisks. I may respect a Yankee champion because I know what that is. But if the Padres win, the whole thing is trash.
About the Astros. Astros, Mike, see, told you it didn't matter that we were cheating. They get a little 60-game
I'm not going to let the Astros win. I'm going to run out on the field and streak before I let them get the last three outs. I'm going to shut the whole thing down.
So back to the Lakers here. Frank Vogel, the NBA has said that, look, when we restart, when we play these eight games, those eight games are not going to have anything to do with regular season awards. We're not going to consider that during the award process. Frank Vogel says, quote, nobody impacts winning more than LeBron. I do believe that he should be the MVP this year. I believe he should be the MVP, and I believe that Anthony Davis should be the Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, why not, right? Because those guys at the end, right before the shutdown, we know what they did with Milwaukee. We know what they did with the Clippers. Problem is ESPN went through and asked their expert voters, and LeBron and Anthony Davis are still well behind Giannis in both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year votes. And it doesn't feel like what happened at the end of the line several months ago is going to matter. Because it was just so long ago that it's hard to even, you know, we remember because we're here in LA and we love LeBron and we love Anthony Davis, but I don't know if anybody else around the rest of the league really remembers what that felt like in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, when we were at that weekend in March, and it was a very, very pivotal weekend, obviously, for the Lakers because it was the Clippers and it was the Bucks and it was back-to-back, and we were rolling, but we still had those questions that they emphatically answered. When you look at how LeBron James was willing to guard Giannis one-on-one, and we took their heart, it looked as if LeBron was on his way to getting the momentum necessary to snatch the award from him over the remaining quarter of the season. And so that's when the conversations about LeBron James's MVP really got moving. But it was with the caveat that he had built up momentum and that the pendulum was swinging, not that it had actually switched all the way over. And so now that he's been robbed of these last 20-some games or whatever, in order to finish swinging the pendulum his way, you got to give it to Giannis. And you guys all know I love Bron, you know, and want to see him maximize because I just think he's not just a hell of a player, but just a hell of a person. But I'm also recognized that Giannis put in some historic work. And while LeBron James was coming, he didn't get there. He didn't get a chance to fully get there. And so you got to kind of give it to Giannis. Best record. His stats are out of this world. Usually an MVP of the previous season comes in with a certain amount of momentum anyway. And I also thought that the conversation about LeBron James being in his 17th year, being, 35, years old, I didn't think that helped his cause because it made it seem as if you were trying to find reasons to give it to LeBron that was beyond just basketball. When in reality, basketball alone was enough for him to be an MVP. He's leading the league in assists. He has the best record in his conference, and he's still giving you 26 points a night, but damn near 50% shooting, and he put together a team very, very quickly when a lot of experts were looking at broken parts. Why are you bringing in Rondo? Why are you bringing in Dwight Howard? How is this going to work? They're 2-this, they're 2-that. They were 2-0, and it was because of LeBron James. You didn't need to talk about how old he was. You didn't need to talk about how many years he's been in the league. You just need to talk about what he's doing right here, right now. And that was enough to be MVP.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I would argue one point of it, and that being that I don't think he needed to be elevated because it's his 16th, 17th season or because he's 35 years old or what it is, because you're right. His play certainly was worthy of MVP discussion just in a vacuum. Just this is what I'm doing with this team. This is where we are. And yes, he should have been right there in that conversation. That being said, I do think those other factors amplify that case. I don't think that it's the only reason he's there. I think it's, hey, look, he's neck and neck with Giannis under any circumstances. And, oh, yeah, by the way, this is a guy that's been in the league for, you know, two decades. It's a pretty remarkable accomplishment. I also think the idea, and I get it, this kind of goes back to what we're talking about with baseball a minute ago, and that is that, hey, look, not everything's perfect. Stuff's going to be different, and we just got to kind of deal with it, right? Things are going to be different. So why not do it a little differently? Why not wait to see who you're going to vote for MVP? Why not wait to have it for the first time ever go through and have it be a part of this reboot, have it be a part of the playoffs? Because, look, let's be honest, your value as a player, a huge part of your value as a player under these circumstances is, can you lead your team in an environment that no one has ever had to see before? Can you make sure that you guys are together, following protocols, staying focused, doing all the little things that you need to do to be successful as a team running through a championship scenario? That this idea of the bubble not counting for any of this, I understand why, and it's not wrong. But what I don't get is, this is new, and if LeBron can have a greater impact on his team in this environment than any of the other guys that are being considered, Giannis or anybody else, that should mean something, because this is, you're asking more of your players than you've ever asked of them before in the history of this league to go in there and do this. And if somebody has a better run through this, there's value in that, and it should count.
Yeah, it should count. And I agree with you. I would love to see them incorporate the postseason. Just hold off on all awards until the end, right? But then, if you do that for this year, then how does that relate to all the other MVPs prior?
Mm-hmm.
So I get why you want to try and keep some semblance of the same sort of parameters, because there's certainly been plenty of postseasons in which the regular season MVP would have had his award taken if you were to incorporate what happened in the postseason.
Oh, no, David Robinson
would have had to, like, get his award, walk over to Elijah Wan's house and apologize.
Here.
I'm sorry. I should have never have received this. My
I
bad.
I hope you have a spot
Here
for this.
You go, Chip.
I liked it behind my desk. Maybe you'll find a similar spot for it. But yeah, look, I hear what you're saying. I hear, but this is different. You know what I mean? So this idea of what would happen in the rearview mirror, it's different. I get it. What's happening forward, hopefully we never have to do this again. And this is just a one-off. And that's why I think you could do it, because it is so different, because it is so weird. Because let's use the scenario that you just talked about. Let's say Giannis wins the MVP, and it looks like he's going to, right? Let's say that Giannis wins the MVP, but the Lakers win the championship, and they win the championship because LeBron just goes bananas, right? Not out of the question. And let's say maybe that Giannis's Bucks team has a weird reaction inside of this bubble. They don't play well. Maybe they get clipped in the second round of the playoffs or something like that, and he's gone. That is a good scenario where you could say, you know what? LeBron obviously had more to do with his team's success in this totally bizarre, weird scenario than Giannis did with his. Why not just throw the old rules out the window and do it differently this year? Because everything's different already. Why not complete the cycle?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and certainly, you know, selfishly, I would like to see them do that, because obviously that puts LeBron in a much better position to win MVP, because it doesn't really matter. The postseason performance is just going to have more weight regardless of what happened in the first 50 or so of our games. So I totally hear you, Travis. I just think in terms of history, being able to compare regular seasons versus finals MVPs, it's just something that's just defined the league for many, many decades. And while it's weird, we didn't do that with the 50-game season in the NBA, so I wouldn't want to see us do it now.
All right, LC, it is a straight-up man-to-man, head-to-head snake draft coming up next. So the morning show on 7.
You don't want this jelly?
Yes, well, we'll see. We'll see. I'll let you know tomorrow around this time whether I want it or not.
Yay!
That's right, Travis. When you hear that music, you know what time it is.
It's a snake draft.
There you go. There you go. Snake draft. Snake draft. And of course, obviously, with Keyshawn.
What's the score? Have I tripled him up? I've tripled
him. Well, it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that, LZ, because new rule with just the two of you going head to head. We starting over. Ain't no score. All your victories are
thrown out. Oh, hell no.
I like that.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
You like our draft? You are not going to. You are yes, not going are. Coronavirus, my snake draft.
Yeah, that's right. This is a 60-game season now. It's just the two of you. It's a 60-game season, so it's a race down the stretch. So we nil-nil. That being said, let's do LZ's favorite type of topic, sports movies. That's right. I was flipping around the dial this weekend, Travis. Other than LAFC's spanking of the Galaxy 6-2, there were a lot of sports movies on. I didn't see that many sports. Of course, Chelsea played lots of soccer on, but not American sports. So that being said, LZ, give me your favorite sports movie of all time.
Oh, Jesus.
Pick a tennis movie. You just tried to.
You know what?
What?
I am going to go with the sports movie that won the Oscar, and I'm going to go with Rocky.
Okay. All right. That's a good call. You might as well. Can't go wrong there. Rocky. All right.
I mean, I got the music. I got the statue. You know, I got the Oscars.
Do you get all 35 of the sequels that come through as well?
Hey, there were still some good ones on the sequels. That's right. Okay, Rocky for you, Travis. You get back-to-back pick because you know what's up.
It's a snake draft.
All right. I'm gonna take one of my favorite movies, and it's a baseball movie, and I know that he's made a few of these, and some of them are better than others, but this one kind of puts a really good feel for what it's like to be a minor league baseball player. It's a pretty funny movie. I'm gonna take Bull Durham as my number one pick.
Okay,
Kevin Costner, Bull Durham. Susan Sarandon, big fan of hers. Tim Robbins. See, the problem with Bull Durham is that they did the number one thing that you can't do in a sports movie, but they somehow got away with it. They had one of the main actors who couldn't do anything athletic. Tim Robbins is a fine actor. He's a good actor. He's been in a lot of things, but he throws like he'd never seen a baseball in his life. Like they dropped him in from another planet and said, yeah. Here, what do you think this might look like?
He throws like LZ did on the first pitch that he got to do. You know what I mean?
I got a bad shoulder. I told you about my shoulder. I would not be held responsible for having a bad shoulder.
What's your second one, Trav?
The good news was that Kevin Costner actually is an athlete and pulled it off and kind of saved the movie. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to go with, and this movie was not great, but I think it was kind of iconic, and it was one of the few football movies that kind of resonated with me. I'm going to go Any Given Sunday for my second choice.
Oh, okay. Nice one. Any Given Sunday. What was the, characters here. Go ahead.
A lot of characters, and I love Pacino's coach. I like Jamie Foxx as kind of the third string quarterback that gets hot. I like the broken down old guys on drugs. I like the owner trying to sabotage the team so she can take over. I liked all the elements of that, but I mostly like the Jack Rose character because that created a whole lot of problems in my life at the time, and I really, in retrospect, enjoyed that a great deal.
That brings us back to you, LZ. Of course, you ridiculed me for saying there were no tennis movies, so here's where I expect a tennis movie to go off the board. Go ahead. You got back-to-back picks.
It's a snake draft.
I would do a tennis movie right now, but I'm trying to win. So I need to
trust me.
Hang on. Let me get it ready.
I'm not gonna take your tennis movie, I promise.
It's gonna be there. It'll be available.
That's why I don't need to take the tennis movie in the second round. I can wait till like the sixth or seventh round because I know it's still gonna be waiting there for me. As you guys know, I just talked about watching a bunch of documentaries about some of our iconic civil rights leaders, including a leader here in the LA area, Jewel, who had Jewel's Ketchwan, which was an amazing club. But in keeping with the documentary, I am going to go with When We Were Kings.
Oh,
the Ali documentary. Yes.
Okay. All righty. Kings. That was a good one there. A lot of footage there that never before seen footage. Good stuff there. Which one was that against? Was that the one against Frazier or was that against Foreman?
It was
Frazier. That one was against Foreman.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. So big twist there. All right. So what you going with your third pick there, LZ?
Let's see. So then for my next documentary, because yes, I'm going to go with a documentary. I'm going to go with the one that Spike Lee shot with Kobe doing work.
Okay. I see what you're doing, trying to get the local vote.
Well, here's the problem. Because I'm not very good at picking sports movies, I think if I stay in my wheelhouse with documentaries, I might do better.
That's right.
So I'm going to go with Kobe doing work.
Gotcha. Travis, that brings you back-to-back picks as your final two picks. What do you got here?
It's a snake draft.
So I'm going to go back to baseball here for another one. And this is, I guess, a sports movie. It certainly shows up on a lot of the sports movies list, but it's more just hilarious because you got a bunch of misfits. I'm going to take the Bad News Bears.
My
next one. Yeah, I'm going to – and by the way, the original one, not the one with Billy Bob that they remade several years ago that was not nearly as good as Walter Matthau chugging Budweiser in the dugout with a bunch of nine-year-olds. I like that. Okay. I like Kelly Leak on his motorcycle in the outfield. So Bad News Bears there. And then I'm going to take what was a really good movie, a little more recent, because all these movies for me are a little old. So I'm going to go to the world of figure skating for my last movie. I'm going to take I, Tonya as my last choice. Because I love that story, and I love Margot Robbie, so I'm taking I, Tonya.
Travis, you were doing so well. He's basically throwing it.
These are my picks, Raj. Don't worry about what I'm
See,
doing.
See, that little that's... attitude is what gets you in trouble with the people.
That's fine. If that's what they don't get it, they don't get it. That's not my problem.
All right, fine. LC, go ahead. Your last pick, your favorite sports movies as we wait for U.S. sports to return. What are you going with?
Well, I'm going to go with the sports movie that had us all enthralled as we were waiting for sports to return. It sparked a lot of arguments, a lot of debates, and it had tremendous, tremendous footage, and that's The Last Dance.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Okay. Nice one. Okay, and that was the most recent one. All right, this one's going to come down to the wire, I think. All right, there we go.
Have either one of you guys, because I know they replayed a ton on all the different networks and ESPN, The Last Dance. Have you stumbled into it and rewatched any of it?
No.
By chance?
I have.
LZ?
I have.
You have? The second viewing, what's been your experience? Because it's really different. It's funny because you're not going through it for the first time, so you're seeing it a little differently. Like, Michael comes out, and we all know that he's a tough guy, right? That he's not the most warm, fuzzy guy in the world. But on the review for me, he looked even more unembraceable the second time through watching that than the first.
So what I found myself trying to do the second time around, it's funny you would mention that, is try to see if I can find what Michael's tell was. And what I mean by that is when someone's lying, like when your kids are lying, you know what they do physically when they get ready to tell a lie. They might shift a little bit. They may put their head down. So I was watching to see when I could tell Michael was lying now that we have information that he was lying. Like the whole Isaiah Thomas part when he was like, going, I didn't have nothing to do with it. I'm watching it like going, okay. Is he shifting his eyes a little bit? Does he shift in his seat a little bit? Well, he's a good liar. I can't tell what his tail is.
No.
Ooh.
He's had some practice. He's had some practice along the way. No question about it. It's still great, but it's great in a different way because you're right. You're looking at Michael going, I love Michael, but I feel I don't know if I like Michael. Michael's a tough hang.
All right, so make sure you guys go to social media, though, first. We have on ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed. Janice will put the poll up here, our favorite sports movies, and you vote your winner. Go ahead, Draft.
All right, the NFL wants to play, but the players are asking for something. Question is, what do they want exactly? We'll try to figure it out next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.